Second Temple. That's the period we call the Second Temple. 536 BC. There's only 50 years between the first and the Second Temple. 536 to 70 AD. And we call it all Second Temple, but there were many temples that were done in between. Herod made the most elaborate one, but it's still within the Second Temple. Right? I hope I made it clear. And these questions are very important. When we come to a place, what do we say? We first think, where are we? And I don't care about the name. Name, you can change. And I'll talk about this later. The first thing we have to think about, logic. We are at the end of the Valley of Jezreel, and we're also part of the valley which is called the Jordan Valley, the Syrian African Rift. It's a very important crossroad between, or what we call the Fertile Crescent, between the west, southwest, and northeast. Anyone who had the power to control it needed very much as a crossroad. But I said, only the one that had the power. In a flat area, and not in the mountains, you have to have a mighty army to defend yourself. And that's why the Israelites were such a small group. They always, until now, I would say till the end of the 19th century, build their houses and everything on the mountain, but not at the summit of the mount, because a city on the hill cannot be hid. What would you look for, like Jerusalem, like Athens, like Rome, and like Nazareth? You will look for a place, in a high place, that will be surrounded by mountains. And you get two things, protection, but more important than that, water. To have water, you have to have mountains higher than where you are. So the water, especially in an area that gets rain only 4 months in a year, you have to have water in an aquifer, so you have to have a layer that can hold the water above you. And these are called the layer springs, which we use all through the Middle East and around the Mediterranean too. So we have to think now, who, where, or what country had a mighty power to control this area? And one more thing, none of this is a holy place. It's not like Jerusalem. And therefore, if I come here, I do not need to destroy it, right? I just have to come and use it. Why to destroy it? So the first nation that was strong in this area were?
Greeks, Egyptians. I would say. No.
Egyptians. So who ruled it? So you talk about the Egyptians, and you can get the date around 35 BC. They come and control it. I'll tell you a lot more about the Egyptians when we go to Megiddo. And because this area is on the trade route, right? If you find a place that has a mixed culture, pottery, and not only that, they had intermarriage. So the figures and the look of the people tell us that they had intermarriage. You said, Tzipi, how do you know that? They used to bury, during the Egyptian to the Philistines' time, they used to bury in boxes, I don't know if you're familiar with Moshe Dayan, found a lot along the coast, boxes that the box itself, the cover, had the feature of the person that was buried inside.
Oh, that's split.
As substitute for what we call later sarcophagus. So here we can see that there's one ravine, which is Ein Harod. We crossed it on the bridge just before. The river Jordan down here. And of course, you had to have a tell, and this controlled the whole northern region. So in those days, it's like a tell very similar to Hazor. And we saw that in Hazor, the buildings had foundation made of stone and then mud brick. So if you want to see the wall that Jacob and Saul were hanging on, you will look for a mud brick wall and not for a stone wall. So this is the time. Saul, tribe, come on, what do you have to fight against the Egyptians, right? Sorry, I didn't talk about it. It's the Egyptians and then the Philistines. And the Philistines no wonder control this area. Why? They had chariots. And if you have chariots and it happened, and you have open air space like you have here, this is where they could show off. They couldn't do it in the mountains. That's why. All the battlefields were in the valley. Do you know three valleys that we know a lot of battles? Let's start from north to south because we're here. Valley of Jezreel, Valley of Armageddon, Valley of Ajalon, Joshua, and the Valley of Elah, David and Goliath. And the Philistines all reach all the way up to this area. So we have these two major periods. Let's continue from there. So during the time of the Philistines, very easy to know the time of the Philistine is about 1000 BC. This is a date that you have to remember. David, Philistines, 1000 BC. They come to this area, control this area, and here we have Saul, and my heart goes for Saul, what he goes through. He is the first one to try to put those stubborn Jews together, which wasn't very easy. Each one was accustomed to have his own way, and he was so unsecured that what does he do? He goes to Samuel the prophet. When he doesn't have Samuel the prophet, he goes to the witch of Endor right here. She tells him what is going to happen to him and exactly what he was afraid of happened to him.
Bless you.
Bless you. David conquered this area but doesn't stay here long. And the next one who conquered this area, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great come to this area, conquer this area on the way to the far east, and turn it into a Greek city, Hellenistic city. He built up on the hill a temple, it's called the Acropolis, you can see right here, and he built some bathhouses, and he started to use the theater, it's not completed yet, and this is about it. And he built all the administration center right in front of you. He gave this place to a god that we mentioned already before, Dionysus. And he wants to make sure that this place is going to be protected. And he sends people that are called Skitim, and they are warrior. And that's why it's called the city of Skitim, Skitopolis. And that's why the place is called Skitopolis. It's the only city of the Decapolis, nine on the other side beyond the River Jordan, and this one is right here, Skitopolis. Here we have a typical Greek to Roman city. 64, the Roman take it and bring it to what you see here. What do you see here? Acropolis, a theater that sits right on the slope of a mountain, the Greek one. You see it like in the Acropolis of Athens. Add the theater right there. This theater is a lot larger than the theater of Caesarea because Caesarea is built only by Herod. This has a foundation. It didn't start just in one day like in Herod time. And they build the major street, the main street, Cardo, cardiology, okay? Cardinal, main street, the Cardo, C-A-R-D-O. And then divide the city of sections of 10 decamonos. You know, deca is 10, so we know that. He built horse racing area right here, and the city goes further and further on. So amphitheater, theater, the city center, bathhouses that were found here, and the city even go beyond the ravine to the other side. Look at the size of this. After the Roman Byzantine period, and then the one who really treasure this place are the Muslim, because they used it as part of the Hijazi way. To be a Hajj is a person who goes to Mecca, but I have a lot more to tell you about it. I'll do it another place. Other group want to use the model. See that we're starting with the theater. Now I tell you what I'm going to do, and the people that have a hard time helping you decide, I'm going to the theater. Then I'm going to the bathhouses, I'm going to the Cardo. I'm giving a chance for the one who wants to climb up with me to see the view from all the way up. And then we come out, we will not spend time.
So the Philistines, you said, had chariots, right?
Oh, yes.
So how did the Philistines get chariots? Because I think of those as Roman.
No.
But the Assyrians invented chariots, correct?
Yes, they did.
And then the Philistines...
But the chariots that they had no iron to them.
Ah.
And iron
makes a big difference on a wheel.
That's what we're talking about.
So, and also protection. So
and
the Philistines...
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about it more in the video.
Okay.
That's exactly the topic we're thinking about.
So Betty and I went to the Acropolis, and we saw the Acropolis, and then we saw there was a theater there.
Mm-hmm.
But that theater no longer is covered. It's not enclosed the way that one is. But it's built into a mountain, so it doesn't need to be enclosed.
It's different, and that's a different one.
Okay.
That's a different. It's exactly the difference between a Greek and a Roman theater.
Ah. Oh, what do you know? Okay, I learned something new. Thank you.
The different type of stones that were used in those days, I will point out to you when we go to Caesarea. Today we're going to talk also a little bit about architecture and designs and things like that. What we have here, the basalt stone is the strongest stone here. It's just like granite. The only difference between granite and basalt, that granite crystallized slowly, so you have each mineral crystallized by itself, and that gives a different shade, different color to granite. That's why it's so good for our kitchen. And then I would say basalt also too. Basalt is just all the minerals mixed together, and that's what gives the black color to. So you will say that the foundation here is made of basalt, and what can be better than basalt to make the road? Because so the chariot will not destroy. Like we saw where in Tzipori, you remember we saw it in Tzipori. So here we see the foundation, and I just want you to know that the theater was a lot larger than you see it now. It had a bridge over this area, and there was rows of seats here. So there were three cavia. What Tzipi is talking about, cavias, are the set of rows of seats. Okay, so there was huge right here. And then to decorate it, you bring Carrara marble, and the Carrara marble reached here like this. And you do the cutting on the spot, and you had to lift it up. They actually had metal that was put in it, installed in it. They would lift it, they would put it in. And the most problematic thing is, when you put stone over stone, it breaks. You need to have something like a soft cushion in between to let it rest, and they use lead. The same thing was done in the Temple of Jerusalem. Then you can warm it and you can use it again. Welcome to the theater. Entrance to the theater is called Vomitarium. Remember, we went to the Triclinium Vomitarium, so let's go in.
Vomitory, just like we have in our stadiums today. No, same thing. Vomitory. The opening to walk into a theater. Unbelievable.
You're going to have a great day.
Beautiful. This guy had opera tickets. What's the opera?
Does. It looks like a giant set.
You know, that will coming in, move in. I have so much to do today, and I doubled the day, the site that we're going today. I doubled it. So please help me. I hear your wow, but your wow should be multiplied by 3 because you see only a third of the theater. You see one. These stones come from Mount Gilboa, where Gary is standing, there was another rose of seed, and where we stood, another rose of seed. Which means if you take that very corner right there, and you multiply it by 3, there, 3, you get the full size of that theater here. Which is a lot more impressive than the theater in Caesarea. Not only that, it was a lot harder to do it. Look at the way the stones were cut. Look at the way they gave space for the feet. The VIP used to sit in the semicircle, and that's, they got the name orchestra, and also the stage, and the wall was the scene. You hear me well. And the reason you hear me well is because theater is a place that you could hear well both sides, from the audience to the leaders, from the leaders to the audience. It's a place that could be heard well. We're going to use it when we go to Caesarea. How does it work? Right behind you, you see semicircle. These are acoustic shells that carry the sound, right? So this is the theater. When you were at the theater, you could not see the city because right in front of you was the wall that was so high. It had shows, and mainly men came here. And of course, when you come out, they were found the latrine or the toilet, which was amazing what was found. Let's continue now that way.
Back here. It looks like another entrance, doesn't it? Yeah, like box seats, maybe. Yeah. Must be. Shot, watch the photographer, and then shoot what he shoots.
Tell you yet about the Muslim here, and I'm going to in a while. because this is a trade route and it's not a religious place, so you can go with your imagination with the kind of life the sheeple had here, lots of fun. And they found five health clubs, like this right here, bath houses. And welcome to one, we're going to use only one. When in a place like this, there's no problem to get water in. One of the issues that was a problem is where do you get energy to have heat? And they have a lot of hot houses here. If this was hard here, you can imagine how hard it was to have a hot room or hot bath in Masada, which we're going to see. So as you come in, this is the main entrance. You have to see that you have a membership. You go in because there was a guard.
Jim?
My hoodie.
So this is a big steam bath.
What we have here today.
and the air had to go in between. It could not be made of stone, because in that temperature stone cracked. We saw it in the palace yesterday. So what they did is those pillars were made of clay. But if you look at it, not just one piece of clay, layers of clay. And the floor was made of layers of clay to enlarge the surface. You're looking at radiators. Clay radiators. So the hot air went through the floor, through the pipes, all the way around the wall, and the hot air went through the floor, out through the pipe, and out through the chimney. Constantly. Now, the floor was so hot, you cannot walk on it. It's just like you go to a Turkish bath. I mean, they had wooden tops all over the corner, benches, and they had big bowls of water, like you see right here. And what they did is, they would put a little ointment and so on in this water. You pour it on yourself, which then you use eucalyptus. In those days, of course, they used different things. You didn't have to do this again. But what happened is, the moment you put the water on yourself, it would go on the water. What happened? It would evaporate. So what kind of cylinder would you have? Not flat. If you would have flat cylinder, it would drop on the people who sit here. By the time it comes down, it's nice and flat. It drops, so you don't want that. So what they did is, each room that you see here had a dome by itself. And different types. This is nothing. The Muslim field, the Hisham Palace in Jericho, there were 37 rooms with 37 domes in three different layers, and one middle one higher and one at the top. Which is and the same system worked in the hot room and in the sun. And there's not only one. Look how many. And this is not the only bathhouse that is found. Yeah, men, and they had certain type of women depends on the place you went to. But that's not right.
Churches, St. Peter Velikentiu, and other places. Let's see if there are restrooms.
Thank you.
hot. And what they did is, don't be surprised if you go to China or been to China in those days, that's exactly what they had, but not individual in between. There was one tunnel like that, and you squat in between, and that was the toilet. So what you see right here, these little holes, like look at the wood that was put right there. Slab will come in, look at the picture here. There's one, this is a picture of the other one. You see, sorry that I have to go so picture. In between, there's water running in. Look at the mosaic of the marble that they had right here. And gorgeous. And in the other one, they had also standing possession would be another point. And then the water would go out. And even so, how people use the toilet, and this is not Muslim. Muslim will not do it like this. Muslim will wash. And this is one of their masks. They have a little stick or whatever, and they use it specially. So when you come in, you get your supply of this toilet paper, and that's it. So this is one thing here. Let's go ahead. So it's a good idea if we go to toilet and there's no toilet paper.
Well,
they did it for
me.
this, you could see how the stones were cut well there. The proto-Ionic, the one 3,000 years old, was, try to imagine, if you take this, what do you get? It's a triangle and two loops, right? That's proto-Ionic. When you build a building and you want to have more space, you had to import wood, like Solomon did, from the tomb of Tyre, which is cedar of Lebanon. And then you cannot lay it or put it on pillars because the pillars are very narrow. So also for the eye, for the proportion, you put a base, a pedestal to the pillar, and you put a capital. The very plain one, just the square, you call it Doric. Very, 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 very plain. But then it came the Ionic, those loops that you see here, okay? Ionic. That was not good enough. You know, you have to make something that have more volume. And you could do it only when you came into a better way. First one, during the Roman time, with Chiso, but the one who did it the best during the Byzantine period. Why is that? Remember I told you the difference of oil press? They knew how to use a drill. And with a drill, you could take that into such delicate designs, even what was called the basket. So we have Corinthian, decorated one, Ionic, the loop, the square, Doric, and before that, Proto-Ionic. That's the big deal. I remember when I studied archaeology, I was very for the first time. So when you go along the road, you can tell when there's an entrance to something, when it's not. If it was beautifully decorated with Corinthian, you know, that led to another street, to something else right there. This is how they used it. Because this place was dedicated to the god Dionysus, we will see him. Let's go in. You could not see the theater from here, but you would see the high wall right in front of you. Right ahead was another theater, and up on top in the Acropolis there was a temple, just that you get the whole view. What I would like to point out to you, if you look at the dead, let's go further, you see that. I want to show you the amount of dirt that is going to be
dirt, destruction, wind, you still get stuff. You know, one of the things I had hard time understanding how come when you can spread your parents on it so much
You didn't break the road after 3,000 years, did you, Pastor Jim?
Apparently I did.
Ain't got some explaining.
Did she say what this different area is?
Pardon?
Did she say what this different area is?
No, I don't know. And this is just a channel for drainage.
Oh.
Just guessing.
You see that the dirt is gone, right? You see that the transit. From there, draw a line. The only thing that was exposed are the black stones of the theater. All this is covered with dirt. And you don't go with a caterpillar. You go with toothbrush to see what there is here. Unemployment in the city, and some of you that have been here several times can tell you the change in the city, the pride that it built for the city. These people are such a bad condition. People are refugees from Holocaust, people, refugees from Arab countries came here. They were dumped by the border every time there's attack. People who could afford it move out. No hope. Suddenly this is revealed. There's a hotel here today. We come here. You have to feed the people. Bed and breakfast here. What a change.
Yeah, is the ground buckled because of the earthquake?
No, this is on purpose to, it's kind of like a channel to get the water away. When it,
because we are in a warm area, when it rains,
okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Muslim who came here. Never started here. This area suffered tremendously from the invasion of the Persians. And also the need to come to the holy site here was always there for the Christians. And if this is not safe, even a lot of pilgrims today, when they hear something, they come here. Murray, where are you going? Aren't you afraid of whatever they do? So anyway, what happened is, after 1600, the trade moved further south, and we have a woman by the name of Fatima. She is a very intelligent woman. She knows a lot of Jews and Christians, and she's related, friendship or whatever, with a person called Muhammad. And because of the trade, they get to know the Jewish religion and the Christian religion, right? And then what happened after that? We have a beginning of religion. It's called the Islam, Quran, which you take the Bedouin in the area right there, and a little bit of Christian and Jewish, and you build a new religion, and they have five prophets: Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus, and Muhammad. And belief, just like in the Christian faith, 14 generation: Abraham, Moses to David, David to Jesus. That's why there are 14 stations to the cross. That's why there are 14 points to the Star of Bethlehem that marks the birth. 100 years, the word Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, is not even mentioned once in the Quran. What does it say? That Muhammad had a long journey till the end. How do you say till the end? Al-Aqsa. So you can put Al-Aqsa anywhere. So what happened is, after being in Saudi Arabia, which is so far away, the dynasty that ruled all the Arab countries moved to Damascus. And it's called the Umayyad dynasty. And after the Umayyad dynasty come the Abbas, and that's in Iraq. So it started to move between Syria and Iraq. You cannot bring people all the way from Saudi Arabia just like that. So the goal was to, first, to keep the Jews and the Christians away from here, but to allow them to visit, because that's how money comes in. And friends, till today, the key to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is in the hands of a Muslim, not in the hands of the Christian. From the time of Saladin and Richard the Lionheart, they control all Christian sites. And that's one. And the other thing is, you can control people if you have pilgrimage. And I did a research on that, Camino de España, Camino de Franco. There were also pilgrimage routes in Europe. And that gave the power to the church. So here we have a new, and one of the five mosques, to a Muslim, to pilgrim to Mecca. And on the way, you come through the third holy site, which is El Quds, Jerusalem, the end of the Friday journey of Muhammad, and the ascension of Muhammad, which was adopted from the ascension from Jesus, but one Mount of Olives, the other Mount Moriah. To do that, you need to have pilgrims, and they built all along the Syrian Africa rift palaces to accommodate them. And there were palaces around the Temple of Jerusalem too. I'll show it to you when we get there. So they took the city of Beit She'an and turned it to accommodate Muslim pilgrimage. And there was one in Sea of Galilee, and there was one in the south part of Sea of Galilee, and there was one here, and the next one in Jericho, and there's about four around the Temple of Jerusalem. So this place was turned into a Muslim site, and the year is 724, and the name of the leader is Abdul Malik, and Abdul Malik is the one who built the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque. And then he has a son, and his name of the son is Hisham, and he was a naughty boy, very, very naughty boy. He started to use things that you're not allowed, and he built in Jericho a palace that had all kinds of statues and heads and so on, which is no, no, no. And 2 years later, there's a big earthquake, and all these places are destroyed, blaming Hisham for all this. And this place is destroyed 749 AD, August, and it fell to the ground till it was revealed 20 years ago. But the amazing thing is that people were very sensitive to earthquake. Everybody ran except one person who had a goldsmith shop back there. He went to get the safe, and a pillar fell on him, and he was fine, right there. So that's the end of Beit She'an. After that, you have Caesarea. You don't need this anymore, and you go through the other side. Let's go further down and show you some more.
Much of the Muslim religion was basically built off of Judaism.
go to Tarash Jordan and see it very clear. And the way the pillars were done, when they cut the stone, it's not flat. Those pieces of pillars, it's like this. And then it gives a little more room to move. There was a temple here, there was a temple up above. This is the city center right here, a theater, and kind of some kind of pool with hot water right here. Look at the capital right here, it's amazing. And further down they had a fountain. Fountain is Nefer On. And I don't want to shock you, but Nefer On was the whole house. And that's where the word Neferman came from. So it was amazing. In that day, three whorehouses were found in Holy Land, Ashkelon here, and then another one in the capital of Jericho. There was an article in Haaretz, the left, you know, magazine. Whorehouses in Holy Land. What is nice about in this one, actually, we have the best natural sacrifice.
There you'll see. Yeah, I'm glad she mentioned that. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is owned by two families, because they one owns the door and one owns the key. So they have control of the whole thing. And there's only one entrance. All the other are sealed off so that they have that amount of control. And you don't perceive the amount of control until you've made return trips. And then you begin to piece it together and you say, what is going on here? Then when you're bombarded with the Arabs or the Muslim, they demand of you to do business with them. We are treated then with their sense of control over this area. They look at us as a product. No, they look at us as a product of yield. It's harvest time for them. So you're not doing your part in the harvest. You don't mean anything to them,
right,
other than what they can
get out of your pocket,
pull from you. And even as the temple was being destroyed in Jerusalem, they were people would come out to try to escape, and they would open them up with knives in case they had swallowed their valuables.
Gross.
And they would even cut pregnant women open and everything else. The idea is that the Muslim just has no love whatsoever. And when we start thinking, we must love them and they're lovable and everything.
Yeah. We're not necessarily in touch with the way it really is.
We are out of touch with reality.
Check out this drainage right there. That old water system, that old conduit right there.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. Pretty. Well, I think I'm going to try to catch up with them.
Yeah, no, I just wanted
to... Are you guys going to make the trip?
Because you'll see that, when you get there. That'll be one of the factors.
All thanks to the Horns of Hattin and Saladin and Richard the Lionheart.
Yeah, you got it.
You going to go, baby?
No, baby, love.
All right.
I love you. Take lots of pictures.
Yeah, I'll see you back at the bus then.
Yeah, take lots of pictures.
You coming, Pastor Jim? All right, I'm off. Wow. They do that. Maybe they went around this way. Yeah. Got it. Thank you, darling. Love you.
I'm going to go up. So
you're what now?
I'm not going
up. Oh,
out,
you're not?
So, I'm just, so go ahead if you're going up.
You're an Austin person, right? I lived there in Austin from,
yeah,
yeah, from about 3 years, 4 years. Yeah.
What were you doing there?
Well, yeah, I was going to UT. I was going to grad school at UT.
Yeah.
But I used to love listening to blues over there. They have such a great music.
Oh, now this, I could stand some. Oh, they're going to try to close the venue. And one's on the campus by the cafe. They were up and
I remember vaguely the Cactus Cafe.
Yeah, they're trying to save money, but that's just like spitting into an ocean because it's only $65,000. They're just trying to believe.
Well, you know, this is what these, I hate to be political, but this is what these governments do, is they agree to these huge entitlement programs so they can all think they're going to be reelected. Then, when they're $20 billion in debt because they've misused our money, they then come in and they go, okay, we're going to have to eliminate this guy who over here, who like puts a filigree on the fence posts every third Tuesday, and we'll cut back on paper supply, and you're like, if you know the average person, if they were running things, they'd say, okay, all you guys, pick up your stuff and get out of here, because we're gonna get somebody in with some common sense. But then you end up with the same thing all over again. With the next crop of hoodlums.
You're right, it doesn't make much difference.
And very frustrating. Oh well.
Have fun.
Okay, thanks for listening to my rant. Okay, I'm going up the hill here, so I think I'll turn off this battery for a little while.